Andrew, thank you so much for joining me today on Design Perspectives. I am so excited to have a conversation with you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yay. Okay, so let's get started. How did you get started in this? I mean, I know, but tell the people, because you have a very interesting background.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of came to design circuitously, and to interior design specifically circuitously. My undergrad was in history. You know, I finished school. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to move to San Francisco and hang out in this beautiful city. And, you know, I was like, I was so puzzled by people who knew what they wanted to do when you're like 21. You're like, how do you know this? Like, what? Like, how do you know? You know, I don't know. It was fascinating. I was so fascinated by people and how they figured out their paths in life, you know? But I came up to the city and had done some traveling in college and just wanted to travel. And so I was in the city. The most flexible thing I could do in San Francisco is work in restaurants. Mm-hmm. And it allowed me to travel and hang out. And, you know, one of the cool things was just being on a different schedule from the rest of the world when I was working nights and in the service industry. And it gave me a really unique perspective on the city. It was really interesting to watch the movements of this, you know, the place, and also see how people interact with the city around them. Because I could look at it from a different perspective. I wasn't part of the giant moving masses on a certain schedule, you know,
right?
Kind of outside of it all, which was cool. But I was also, you know, I could duck in and weave into any parts of the city that I wanted and had a lot of flexibility. And between that and traveling, you know, I found this love of restaurants and hospitality. You know, I love those kinds of spaces. And it took me a while to figure out that, you know, that might be something that one is a career, you know, that you can even do that.
Right.
And that within interior design, there is really a specific focus of it that looks at hospitality. But also, I think what really kicked it into gear was I had moved overseas and I had a loose plan to open a small cafe with a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get it off the ground. Like, thank God that didn't happen. But, you know, I realized, like, if we reopen this thing, like, what I was really interested in was creating this cafe space of, you know, that would embody all those feelings that I had in all these great cafes that I would be in traveling around.
Right.
And I wanted to make that space. And then I thought, once we open it, then I just got to, like, work there every day. I don't want that part. You know, I want to make the experience. And so when I got back, I re-enrolled in art school here in San Francisco, and that kind of started my path into interior design. I started thinking that I might want to focus on graphic design, and I think I didn't quite understand what the field of interior design was. Mm-hmm. So I was a little hesitant to really embrace it. But, you know, once I got into school and I went to CCA here in San Francisco, or CCAC, it was right at the transition point from California College of Arts and Crafts to California uh-huh. College of the Arts. But there is a craft and a making component to CCA still. And being in school and realizing the breadth of what interior design is just made me totally embrace it. You know, I think that it's one of the few creative fields where you can touch every single component of design, every single component. And you can own it or you can not own it, but you have the choice to. You know, when you're in graphic design, you're really 2D. You know, when you're in architecture, you're not always thinking or able to touch the details of the tactile parts. You know, when you're, you know, if you're in industrial design, you're looking at objects and forms, but you're not usually thinking about space and architecture, you know. But interior design, you're able to just completely touch everything.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome, you know. And so it's such a wide field. I mean, you can have very architecturally driven projects. You can have a project that is all about a graphic paint, you know, like, right. I mean, you can do anything. And so, you know, I was like, this is amazing. I can absolutely tailor this field to the things that I love, which are, you know, tactile craft and making and details and materiality and, you know, components of architecture, but that is exactly interior design. And so is like all these other things that are interior design. So I was able to, you know, find a path there. And I think in a way kind of lucked out, because those, you know, 10 or 12 years of working in hospitality to get me there mm-hmm. was always for me just a means to an end, but it's been profoundly, you know, foundational.
Right.
in hospitality design, you know, to have spent years working in one particular restaurant, but, you know, many, but seeing the patterns and seeing how people use a space and how they respond to certain things based on the design, you know, based on the layout, based on the operations, based on the people that work there, you know, all those things became really, really foundational for me. So in a way it kind of lucked out, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, I still love restaurants. It's great. I feel like I spent so much time working in them and now I get to design them. It's like I get to do it. You know, that's how I feel most days. Like it's an opportunity that we get to
do. I love that. It's funny. I always tell young people like I'm old, that, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? That they hate a job. And I was like, you need to pay attention. Because this is going to help you later on in life. Wherever you land, this is a lesson right now that you shouldn't poo-poo. Like, learn everything. Learn the pain points. Figure out why you don't like it. Because wherever you land, this is going to help you morph into the individual and the creator you're supposed to be for your, you know, for your final destination, so to speak.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to have this philosophy on every day, right? But every day there can be challenges, but in reality, we get to do this. You know, that's a special thing. This is like, we get to create these things, not only for ourselves, but for everybody else to use them, particularly in hospitality design. You know, the spaces that we design are used by many, many people and they experience this thing. And to be able to create that profound experience for people is an opportunity. And so, while that's the big arc, you know, when you're down in the trenches and you have like a ton of drawings to get through, or you're like, you know, there's a million shops coming in that you gotta, you're like, oh my God. You know, but at the end of the day, all those things are stepping stones. I think that was one thing that I also learned going through school was like, you know, a lot of, it's not just the fun parts, like the being in the trenches gets you the ultimate goal. You know, you have to do those steps and you have to embrace that as well as an opportunity, because if you don't put the time in there, you don't get the results. And so, yeah, you gotta have to embrace all the facets of it. but on the good days, you know, remember that this is an incredible opportunity that we get to be creatives and people trust us with their finances, you know, with their vision, and we get to build this out for them and then give this to the world. I mean, it's an opportunity.
I love it. What is your favorite space that you didn't design? let's talk about what you didn't design and what is your favorite space to go into. And then I want to hear, what is your favorite space that you did design that you're like, this was amazing? Or like you just get goosebumps every time you go in.
It's hard to name one favorite place that I didn't design because, you know, I'm highly opinionated. So it's not like every place meets that mark, but there's lots of places that I love. And this is completely random and not even a designed space, but I was just talking to some friends of mine, cause I'll be in London this summer. And I spent time overseas in Scotland and would come in and out of London many times. And the first time I went to London, there was this little pub in this neighborhood in the West End that was near some friends of my parents that night saw it one day. So when I was traveling, I was like, I want to go back to that place. It looked kind of cool. And I've been going to that pub for like 30 years, you know, like every time the thing about it, it's not so much that it's like a design inspiration, but it's on this unique corner. It's in a little neighborhood. Surrounded by, you know, bustling London, but in this little micro neighborhood, you saw two-story row homes. It's on a corner. It has these really nice, beautiful, big arched windows. When you sit inside there, you get this airy feeling. You can look out and see London. You know you're in the city, but it feels like a representation, a little slice of real life of this micro neighborhood. You know, I don't feel like I'm a visitor. I feel like I'm in this city and I'm really under the skin of it. And those were the kinds of places that I would gravitate to when I was traveling around. It's not so much about the design. It was really about like the emotional connection to being in that place and feeling like that place had some depth to it, somehow much deeper than just the physicality of it. And that feeling, you know, for me, when I'm designing spaces, I'm always wanting to tap into that deep emotional element, you know, so that it isn't just pretty finishes and an organization and a space plan. There's some deeper level that you can connect to emotionally and feel like you're in a much more special place, you know, and that to me is the power of design. If people can come out of a space that I've designed and feel something deeper, like I really was transported to something special, and they carry that with them, that's like a huge success for me.
No, that's so true.
Like, you know, of the spaces that I have designed, I would always point to Single Thread in Healdsburg. It's a small boutique restaurant. And when we started that project, I mean, I don't know if anybody knew exactly what that project would be. The year they opened, they received 3 Michelin stars. That's like unheard of. And it's just skyrocketed, you know, since, right? So it's an institution now. And we were so, I feel lucky to be able to have worked on it. But at the time, it was a project, right? Like nobody knows what's going to happen. But there was so much synergy between Avroco and our design philosophies and the operators and the owners. And it all just came together. And, you know, my love of craft and tactile materials, we were able to express in that project. And I think that really related to the chef and his wife and their focus on their craft. You know, so there's that synergy between those philosophies. There was so much operational design that we put into it from my years in working in a restaurant. And being able to tailor such a specific design to exactly what they deliver for hospitality was amazing. And what's great about that project is they, you know, this is a place for them. They fully embraced it. And so when you go into that space, you feel a sense of hospitality from them.
Right.
That the space and the design supports, but it would never sing without them, right? So there's this perfect synergy between the design and the operations. And when I go in that space now, we're doing some new work with them for some new projects. When I go in there, they've like preserved it perfectly. I mean, it's in perfect shape. And now it's, you know, 8 years in, it's almost like most restaurants would absolutely need a refresh. And I mean, that restaurant doesn't really, but there's like a harmony. There's almost like this audio sound of harmony, you know, just being in there. And like, I've never experienced that in any project. It's, yeah, that's for sure, you know, a standout for me.
Wow. I felt every word you said. And that's what it should be. I think so many times what people, they don't listen to what really needs that the client needs. And just to be able to work with you all, I can only imagine like how magical it is, because again, I will say it 1,000 times, like everything you all do, I'm just always so in awe. And I'm like, God, I'm still falling short of the glory. Like I got to do more. I got to get to that level. So that is amazing.
I mean, I feel, you know, that, so the company started, you know, early 2000s. And so I knew about the company when I was in design school as well. And it was always like a vision of mine to work with this company that I was seeing work come out. And what struck me about the work at Avroco was that there was such a strong narrative to what they were doing at the time. You know, there was such strong reasoning, and the philosophy that I was developing in design school at the time was also about that. It was like creating ideals or design pillars, and then we're designing around them, and everything's tracing back to those designs all the way through to the end. And the Avroco projects I saw at the time and that what are captured in Best Ugly, you know, really told that story. And I was like blown away. And the bar was set so high, you know? So, I mean, I still feel that here. Almost 12
I'm still years. Reaching. I'm still reaching.
I'm still trying to like keep the, like, oh my God, I gotta like make it good enough for Avroco, you know?
The bar. No, that's cool. How do you recharge? You know, because as a creative, like we can be so into the projects and working on them and you can get burned out. But like, how do you recharge so you can always come back with a fresh point of view?
That's a great question. I mean, honestly, what I try to do is carve out some time for myself to then experience hospitality from a like a user perspective, you know, to be in spaces, go out to restaurants, visit some of my favorite hotels, travel, be in those spaces, really dwell in them. And that actually recharges me, because I'm excited again about those kinds of spaces. And I see other people's ideas and how other people have solved these solutions and how people experience those. And it's different than maybe things that I would have done or the way I would have thought. And again, it's like, it sets that bar. It's like, oh my God, this is amazing. And like, could I have produced this? I don't know. I got to try, you know, I got to try harder.
Right.
When I get back in the office, I want to work on this. You know, oh, that one project I've been struggling with, this gives me an idea for something that I think I can solve that now and get past that hurdle. And so that's really, for me, how I can recharge. It's funny, we completed a meeting yesterday, and I was with my colleague, and we were coming back, and we stopped in for drinks at a restaurant that we worked on here in Burlingame. And sitting in there, I was thinking, it's so funny to be in the spaces that we design, because I feel like, you know, we have this like secret that nobody knows.
Right.
We've seen under the skin, you know, like literally like into the studs, and nobody knows that, you know, nobody knows that we know that everything they're doing has been planned by us, like the stool they're sitting on and how they're sitting on it and what they're looking at and the things they're touching and everything about that experience was considered. And they don't really know that, but it's so fascinating to see people in the spaces, you know, that you actually design. And so that's always really, you know, the other thing that kind of recharges me, to see people like using the things that you've spent so much time and put so much passion into creating, right? Mm-hmm. Actually seeing that used and enjoyed by people is like a real reward. So that also kind of propels me into the next projects.
Oh my God. I love that. I do have another question, but I want to jump back to something that you said. So let's say you're sitting at the bar in that area. You literally think about what is in front of you and like how the person's going to lean over or how the person's actually going to sit. Like that's...
Oh yeah. Like if they're, I mean, the front edge bar profile is something that people touch all the time. You know, just you're sitting there and you touch it.
Sense.
So if you can make something that's a little bit of a surprise right there, that's memorable and people can notice that. I don't think anybody's going to really think that there was four meetings and like 17 sketches and all this stuff. They're going to be like, wow, this is really cool. Like there's this perfectly placed little thing for this other thing that I have this need for. And it's been recognized somehow in this space.
Right.
And you feel special, you know, you feel like you're a part of the space. You've been considered as a human. You have a significance, you know, within this
right,
design.
Right, right.
And I think those like psychological things get picked up by people, and when they leave a place like that, they feel better, you know? And so, but yes, those things are absolutely thought about. And it's not just those little things that you touch, but it's the perspectives. If it's always a goal of mine to design a restaurant where every single seat is the best seat. And that's impossible feat, right? Because sometimes you just can't, but then you try to consider, okay, well, and I put myself in every seat. And as I said, I'm quite opinionated, right? So when I go into a restaurant, there's like certain seats that I want to sit in and certain ones that I don't. And there's some restaurants that I just don't want to go to because I know that there's a high likelihood I won't get one of the better seats.
You right.
You just can't control that. And I know that from working in restaurants, like, there's no way you can guarantee really particular seat. But when you're designing it, knowing that and thinking of, you know, putting yourself in every single seat while you're space planning this and thinking, do I want to sit there? If I don't, what would make it better? You know, if I got sat there, what would make it better? Okay, well, maybe there's a really cool little artwork moment next to me, or maybe I can build a higher banquette so I feel like I'm in this cool corner looking out, even though I'm in the middle of the room.
Right.
You know, maybe there's, okay, well, I'm looking down this corridor, but at the end, let's do something really special so that you feel like that view has been considered and there's something for you there, some little surprise when you sit down and you see it across the room. All those things, they contribute to this holistic experience in a space that isn't just about, you know, finishes. Mm-hmm. And those things, you know, those are super important to me. And yeah, I mean, those are critical parts of restaurant design. All those things need to be thought about. And a home run is when you can create a restaurant where you can get like 95% of the seats are great seats.
Perfect. Do you ever walk away from a project and go, like, I'm glad it's done, but feel relieved because it has turned out the way you want it to, you know, from the sketches, your mind's eye, and the plethora of meetings? Do you just walk away and go, this one was a home run?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes. It takes the actual opening of the space and seeing people in it and the happiness that it can bring to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Just before that, before everybody really, before it's like released to the world, right? Before this thing is like born and is in the world on its own and you have to let go as a parent, you know? It's so hard to like see beyond the challenges. Like every project has challenges and every project has compromises. And I think one thing about this field that's unique is that we're creators and we're artists, but we're working for clients, you know, and it's a service industry in many ways. And so we have to compromise. We have to be able to compromise. We have to find solutions that might not be wholly our own.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much of the process of design that is just that level of negotiation and communication to get to the end vision. And at the end of a project, it can be really challenging to, you know, like, oh, there was this opportunity for this thing and it couldn't be realized. And I that would have made it so much better. And, you know, but then it opens and you're like, oh yeah. I mean, yes, it would have been amazing, but it's actually pretty amazing right now and people love it. And it can survive without that component. And so then you're like, yeah, okay, this is awesome.
What do you like to do in a client brief?
Like at the beginning of a project or?
Yeah, like to find out, like when you first are briefing with the client, what are the things that you look for? Are there any specific questions that you ask because you're like, I really want to understand? Or is it just like loose and easy the first date? So we're just all trying to figure out what's going on.
It really depends. You know, it depends on who the client is and who our audience is. And I've tailored that first meeting in so many different ways, depending on who our audience is going to be. And I think it's actually a really important component of communication that designers don't always think about, really understanding your audience, who you're talking to, and then how to tailor your information to that audience, you know?
True.
And so for initial client meetings, if we have a client that we know is very savvy, maybe they're an operator with 50 restaurants across the country,
mm-hmm.
we should be approaching that differently than a first-time restaurateur or a developer who is opening a hotel, but they've never had a hotel property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're very different processes. And so in those cases, we need to quickly understand their acumen for understanding design.
Okay.
And so sometimes we'll just create an exercise that involves them, but we're not just looking at their responses to design. We're looking at how they interact with design in general. Like, do they understand? Do they get it? Because that will allow us to tailor our work going forward. And if it seems like they just don't know how to process this stuff, then, you know, we need to do a little bit more work and present to them, okay, we think this is your vision.
Okay.
But sometimes people are very, you know, they know, and they're like, we like this, we don't like this. And we're like, great, you know, you have a vision for the space or what you want or what you think success is. And ultimately, I guess that's what we're trying to get at. Like, what's their vision of success?
Mm-hmm.
So then we can make sure that our process will circle back to that. You know, I think our process, the Abraco process, is unique. Not everybody understands how we work through designs. Sometimes they just want to see the pretty rendering.
Yes. You
know, like,
yes.
Tell me what I'm going to get. You
just
know,
give me to the pretty stuff. Just give me to the pretty thing.
I don't care about this weird, you know, historical narrative you're talking about. And we're like, well, okay, that's cool. We can keep that internal, but that's so critical to the process for us because at the end of the day, those stories that we're telling through design are what has built the entire project, you know, and that's a success for us when we can walk in at the end and say, the reason that this thing is here is because of this. The reason that thing's there is because of this for every single component, right?
Right.
It's all built on a story. And when we don't have that guiding light, things get all over and then you have a design by committee and you just don't get that synergy right at the mm-hmm. end of the project. So as long as we can understand what success is for our clients, then we can tailor our process. And sometimes success for them is just purely like revenue. You know, sometimes success for them is like meeting the schedule. Like, we don't care. Like, we got to open on this day, like do whatever you can to do that. And we're like, great, you know, and we can tailor our process after that. So I think that's really important to understand really what they want to get out of the process of collaborating with us, you know, aside from just the ultimate design. I think when people come to Abrico, we're very lucky that people seek us out to work with them and collaborate with them. And we're thankful for that, but we have to understand to what degree they want to be involved in that process, because we can go super deep with them or loop them in when they need to be told what it's going to look like, and then we keep going.
Do you have a preference, the super deep or the let's keep it on the surface?
I like the super deep, because to me it's a sign that they're going to embrace this thing that we're going to build for them, you know.
Right.
And I like to be very collaborative, and I feel like it challenges us. Like if we don't have swim lanes, it's hard as designers to like then you got to make your own problems to solve, right?
Yes.
And then they're like, oh man, you know, then it's so hard to have conviction with what you're doing, you know. Whereas when you have a specific problem or you're really trying to solve something, you can have this is the answer. Like this is the thing. It can only be this solution or one of these solutions. And you're not second guessing the foundational components of what you're doing, you know. So I like being really collaborative with clients, and I love it because it gets them embracing the story. I mean, I've dined at Single Thread, and I don't think the servers know that I'm the designer, and they'll tell me the stories.
Really?
It's just so gratifying. You know, like they're embracing it. But that's a sign of, you know, somebody who's really deep in the process with us and has embraced those stories and that development, and then they take it on as their own at the end. So like, I love that.
Oh, well, this has been absolutely amazing. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to have this chat with me. I feel so honored. Thank you so much, Andrew.
It's an honor for us too. Thanks so much, Gail. It's great talking to you. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Yay. All right.